You are so great, Father. It's great to know, Lord, that whether it's in Greenwich, Connecticut, or it's in Maasailand, Africa, Father, God, that the great joy of the Lord rings around this world, Father. And Lord, that your saving grace is all around, Lord. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. And we're here today, God, to rejoice in you, Father. And just pray, Lord, your blessing over this service. And God, that the words that are spoken would be inspired by the Holy Spirit, Lord, to speak to hearts today, God, and change lives for the kingdom of God. And we give you the glory in your name. Amen. Amen. I must warn you, I haven't preached in about 4 weeks because of going to Florida and vacation and things. And so I've got the bug this morning. And so this is kind of what you're in store for. So just get comfortable, you know, and we're going to have a good time. No. You know, I want to speak to you this morning out of the book of Ephesians. We're going to be looking into chapter 5, so if you have your Bibles, you can begin turning that way. And, you know, in here, it's a great message that Paul is speaking to the Ephesian church. And, you know, it reminds me a lot, in the beginning anyway, of some of the gifts that we have. You know, me as a pastor, maybe parents to their children, and it's this that, you know, we, I know that me as a youth pastor, I look at teenagers and I meet teenagers, and usually within a matter of minutes of meeting somebody, the Lord is kind of gives you insight about that person's gift sets, about their destiny. And it's an amazing thing. And I see students that maybe I'm not, you know, that they're not really living up to the person that they are supposed to be right now, but I see who they are going to be. And you see this in your children. You know, you watch your kids growing up and you see certain traits and characteristics about them that are great and that are going to benefit and bless other people in the future. And you see that maybe they're not there yet, but this is what they are going to be. And this is who they are destined to be. We see it in our spouses all the time. You know, we sometimes kind of rely on that. You know, I would say to Jeanette, you know, Jeanette, am I the man that I used to be, you know, and they're like, yeah, you are so amazing, ha, 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 you know, and so we have these abilities sometimes to see things in people that maybe they don't see in themselves, or maybe we see things in people that perhaps they've forgotten or that they've strayed away from. And this is kind of what's happening here in the Ephesian church. Paul is actually kind of vocal throughout the scriptures about his frustration with the Ephesian church from time to time. And this is one of those moments where he had kind of just gotten really frustrated with them because he was standing in front of a congregation ultimately that had grown complacent. You know, we can do this sometimes. I grew up in church. I was in the pews from the time I was a little kid. I received the Lord as my Savior at 5 years of age. And, you know, and I grew up, and, you know, if you're in church all the time, you kind of know the deal, right? You come to church, and if you're not careful, you can just sort of get into the system of church and forget the why of church, right? You can get into the program and forget the who of church. And sometimes we come and in many cases, we can come into the church and it can be more of a social event as opposed to what it was intended to be. And this is what was happening in the Ephesian church. And so Paul, the apostle Paul, is speaking to them and he's saying, look, this is not who you are. And I want to remind you who you are. So the title of this morning's sermon is Be Who You Are. And we're going to start reading out of verse 8, chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians. And it reads this way. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose those things. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak with others to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, and always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know, Paul is taking a moment and he's pausing and he's speaking to the congregation and he's saying to them, guys, you got to understand who you are. He says, you were darkness, but you are light. You are light in the Lord. So what does that mean? When we talk and we kind of look at the idea of light throughout Scripture, we learn a lot about it. The Bible references light in many, many different instances. In 1 John 1, 5, we learn that the Bible says God is light. In 1 Timothy 6, 16, the Bible tells us that the light speaks of His majesty and the light speaks of His glory. In Psalm 43, 3, the Bible tells us that the light is the truth and that He wills to reveal Himself, the truth, the glory, the majesty to all humanity. God wants us to be light. In fact, in Matthew 5, 14, He says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. So because of all this, you know that you were also light in the dark world. In other words, you are to be luminous. Everybody say luminous. Isn't that a cool word? I love the word. It just sounds funny. Luminous. You know, sounds like something you get at Bath and Body Works. Like, it's our new fragrance, luminous. You know, but it's a cool word. Actually, when you go out to eat for lunch this afternoon, about 2:30, when I let you out of here, and the waitress comes to your table and asks how you are today, just look at her and say, "I am luminous." See what happens. You know, maybe the Lord will take you somewhere. But anyway, but, you know, we are to be reflective of the light. We are to be the light, to carry the light of Christ. It reminds me of those little plastic stars and planets that little kids put in their rooms. Maybe some bigger kids in the room, I don't know. But, you know what I'm talking about, the ones that glow in the dark. So during the day, you know, they're all stuck up on the ceiling. And during the day, you don't really notice them, but they're just soaking it up all day long. And then when the lights go out and it's dark in the room, they are still shining, right? And this is what we're supposed to be doing as the church. But what was happening to the Ephesians was that they had forgotten the why. They had forgotten the who, and they would come to church just because that's what they did. This was their routine. They were forgetting the fact that they were supposed to be in the world to illuminate, and then to come, and then they would come to church to celebrate. You go to the world to illuminate, and you come to church to celebrate. You see, the church, the building, the facility, when we gather together corporately, was never really supposed to be about getting our lives all straightened out. It was supposed to be, and always has been, a time for us to gather together to celebrate His glory and His truth and His majesty, to bring the light together, to gather together in celebration. Because you know what? I've been in the world and I've been illuminating all week, and God has given me miracle after miracle after miracle, and I've been living a life of abundance all week, and I want to come back and testify and bring glories to the altars of God. That's what church is supposed to be about. Amen. See, I went way ahead of myself. Paul was saying to the Ephesians, he says, guys, listen, you got it all messed up. And he's like standing in front of them with his hands waving, no, you're going the wrong direction. And you know what? We see here that Paul begins to correct the Ephesian church and give them a roadmap to regain their identity and to encourage them to once again be who they are. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. The first thing that Paul tells them to do is wake up. Wake up. That verse 14 says, "For it is light that makes everything visible." It's light that makes everything visible. If the light is burned out, then you have no protection. You have no protection against your adversary. You can't see what's coming. You keep attaching yourself to things of this world. The lights want to get dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, and you're not going to have any idea of what's coming next. I liken it to a roller coaster. Any adrenaline junkies out there? You like to, roller coasters, yeah. When I asked that, there's like three people that ride roller coasters. So this illustration may be of no use to you. But but yeah, I want to go for it anyway because it's third service and we can go all day. Just kidding. But you get on a roller coaster in the middle of the day and it could be high and it could be inverted and you can have all these twists and turns. And as long as it's outside, man, you can see where you're going. I remember the first time Jeanette and I went to a theme park together, and Jeanette isn't like a big fan of roller coasters. So she's very calculating and she timed the whole thing out. She's like, "I'd be on this turn for 0.2 seconds. And like it literally, I'm not even exaggerating. It took her all day to get on the thing. And then she got on it and loved it. But you know, we have an opportunity because we can see every turn. We can see every, you're going up the thing, and you know it's coming, and you're about to crest over, you're like, and you're getting ready, and then you know where the cameras are, right? So you got to be all chill whenever the camera, because you don't want to have that funny face. But if you ride a roller coaster in the dark, have you ever been in a roller coaster in the dark? You have the same three people. Okay, so you go in the roller coaster in the dark. You have no idea what's coming. So everybody's like, in all the pictures, everybody's all messed up because you have no idea what's coming. And this is what happens. This is why Paul is saying, look, it is the light that makes everything visible. He says, you have got to be in the light, because if you don't, you will have no recourse. You'll have no ability to be able to see when your adversary is coming after you. You will have no idea. You've got to be in the light. It makes everything visible. So then he says to them, wake up and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, wake up. You know what's funny about when preachers say turn to your neighbor? It's like, what happens if the person next to you is turning to their neighbor and that person's turning to their neighbor? And, they say turn to the person on your right and everybody goes, it's like a tennis match. It's funny. Anyway. Wake up. You know what? You may be here today and your life is clouded. It may be uncertain about certain things, and you can't remember the last time that you could really spiritually see clearly. And I want you to know today that the Lord has a word for you, and the word starts with wake up. Wake up. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I remember a few years ago, I went to a youth convention, and there was a speaker by the name of Herbert Cooper. And Herbert actually spoke at our national youth convention in Florida a few weeks ago. And when he came out, they had this big bed that it was time for the speaker, and they rolled him out on this bed, right? They pushed the bed out into the stage like this, and he was in the bed, had his microphone, and he jumps out of bed. He says, "Get out of bed, sleepyhead," right? And the message that he was saying was, it's time to wake up, church. We're sleeping and slumbering and wasting time in bed. It's time to get up and to wake up from the dead and let the light shine on us. But sometimes it's tough to get up, isn't it? I mean, literally, like, it's really tough to get out of bed. I just mentioned we were in Florida. We'd taken the teenagers, who were awesome, whoop whoop, you guys, and we went to Florida. We had a great time, and then Jeanette and I, we vacationed for a few days, and then we came back, and, it's summertime, and I kind of got used to sleeping in a little bit. I know none of you do that, but I had a little tough time. I was sleeping in, and so some of your regiments kind of get messed up in summertime, whatever. And it was time to get back into the swing of things. And one of the things that Jeanette and I do is we take turns going to the gym every day. So it was my first day to go back to the gym. And, 5:30 rolls around, and I hadn't been up at 5:30 in like 3.5 weeks. So So, you know, and I have, do you, how many of you have that ability to absolutely navigate around your cell phone or your alarm clock in your sleep? And you can turn your phone off without ever even looking at it, or turn your alarm clock off without it. You know, I have an iPhone, so it's all touch. There's no buttons. And I can slide and punch and fit, you know, I don't even see it. Go back to sleep. It's amazing. And this is how it was that morning, and all of a sudden I start feeling this poking in my back, and I'm like, my phone doesn't do that, you know, and I'm like, what? And she's like, you gotta get up. It's time to get up. And I'm like, I don't want to get up. And she says, you know, wives just have this way. She has this, says this. She says, if you want the results, you got to do the work. And so I got out of bed and I dragged my bones to the gym and hurt myself and all that stuff. But we got to get up. If you want the results, it's true. If you want the results, you got to do the work. And Paul's saying here, you got to get up. You got to wake up. You got to wake up. You got to wake up. Quit doing the same old things. You know, you're never going to change anything if you don't change who you are, if you don't change your direction. You know, I'm reminded of a story, this true story. I was a teenager, and I went to Turner Falls Youth Camp. It's the church youth camp in Oklahoma where I grew up. And there was we had this cabin, and one of these boys that was in our cabin, his name was Jeffrey. I'll never forget Jeffrey. I was in junior high at the time, and Jeffrey was about my age, and he wasn't from my church, but he was on my team, and he was nowhere to be found. Monday rolls around, and he's nowhere to be found. And right before we go to church that night, he comes back to the dorm. And I mean, we didn't see him for dinner, we didn't see him for lunch, we didn't see him the whole day. And so he comes in, and he's covered from head to toe. He's soaking wet, and he's in Oklahoma. They have a lot of red clay, and so the water was all kind of red and murky, and he was stained, and he smelled. He had soiled his pants. He had gone to the restroom in his pants, and it was a disgusting, gross, and very sad scene. And so I began talking with Jeffrey and said, "Man, what's the problem here? What's going on?" And Jeffrey says to me, he says, I was at the river all day. I'm like, yeah, at the river, you know, there's a beautiful river that ran through the camp. And he says, yeah, I was trying to catch the crawdads, the little crayfish down in the river. I'm like, all day, like for 8 hours, you were down there in the water. And he said, yeah. And I was like, man, well, you got to get you cleaned up. Well, he didn't have any soap. So one of the guys gave him a bar of soap. He didn't have a towel. One of the guys gave him a towel. And my youth pastor took his clothes and took them to the washing machine and got them all cleaned up for him. And in conversation, we learned that Jeffrey had no money. And so we had taken up an offering for him. We raised about $21. We gave it to him. Said, Jeffrey, run on this week. We're kind of feeling good about ourselves. You know, we've done some good things, and it kind of makes you feel good sometimes to give to another person. And so we equipped him to be ready to go to service. And so Jeffrey goes to service that night, and everything's fine. And then the next day rolls around, and the whole day, we can't find Jeffrey. He's missing the whole day. And, you know, it comes in 8 hours, goes by. And then he comes by, it's time to get ready for church that night, Tuesday night. And he comes walling back in, covered head to toe, soaking wet with this red, murky, stained stuff. And he smells again. And I said, Jeffrey, where were you? I was down at the river all day. I said, all day? You were there the whole day trying to catch crawfish, right? And he said, yeah. I said, you were there the whole day, all 8 hours. He goes, no, no. He said, I went to the concession stand today. And he said, and I wanted to ask you, you think you could take another offering for me? I spent all the money you gave me. I wanted to snap this kid's neck in front of me. And I, you know, and but in thinking about that, I thought, you know, how often do we treat God like this? You know, he gives us every day, extends to us grace and mercy. Every day he extends to us every resource of heaven. He equips us and gets us and sets us up for success every day. And how often do we begin to fall asleep and sink back into the darkness and reattach ourselves to things that used to once shackle us and find ourselves hanging out with people that we know are going to drag us down, or getting involved in situations and becoming complacent and becoming blinded again to the enemy's tactics? We do it all the time. And Paul is saying, church, you got to wake up. You got to wake up and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The second thing that he says to them is, after they begin waking up, he says, now you got to be taking up. You got to be taking up. Verse 15, he says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. You know, if you want to know how to be who you are, you need to wake up to the fact that you are to be luminous. You are light in this world. And then you must be careful, and not just careful, but the Bible says be very careful. This means that you take every choice, every road, every decision that you make, everything that you're taking up, you need to take the wise path. In other words, you're giving it due diligence. You're weighing out the options. You are making informed decisions that will line up with the vision of who you are. It all works together. You understand who you are, and then you must understand that there's a vision, a filter that you must run all of these decisions through. This is why businesses and corporations have vision or mission statements. This is why churches have mission statements. This is why a lot of families have vision or mission statements, because every choice, every financial purchase, every decision, every move, everything that we do as a company has to line up with that mission or that vision. And if it doesn't, it may be a good idea, but if it doesn't match up with the mission, if it doesn't match up with the vision, we're not going to do it. It's not the wise choice. And the filter that we must be aligning ourselves with. It may be a good thing, but is it the wise thing? And today's day and age, we are absolutely bombarded with so many different opportunities to entice us to invest our time and our money and our energies, right? I mean, there's so much coming at us all the time. And the promises of all of these things is that if we will invest these opportunities, then they will reap a great reward in our life. And you know what? A lot of times it's the absolute truth. If you invest in this, it will reap for you great fruit. If you do this, it will have a great reward. And a lot of times that's the truth. But does it match up with the vision? Is it going to help you be who you are in the Lord? Let's put it this way. Do the paths that you're taking up align with your Christian makeup? Do the paths that you are taking up align with your Christian makeup? In other words, do they fall in line with the light? Do they fall in line with the light? Will this choice help me advance the cause of Christ in my world? Let me say it again, because really that's what we're about. Will this choice help me to advance the cause of Christ in my world? Do the choices that you make align with who you are supposed to be? Are you running the choices through that you take up through that filter of the vision that has been made clear to you through the light? The book of Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 21 says this, many are the plans of a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purposes that prevails. Amen. You know, church, the days that we live in today in America are evil days. There's a lot of things going on out there. American marriages, about 60% of them today are ending up in divorce. The sanctity of marriage is under attack. Families are disintegrating. Demonic agendas are being propagated to our children at the very youngest of ages. What used to shock mainstream America is now becoming the norm. It's the absolute truth. This country, which used to be a proud Christian nation, is slowly making its way to the closet. These are evil times that we live in. And the choices that you make about your businesses, the choices that you make about your families, the choices you make about the friendships that you keep, the acquaintances that you keep, the morals that you will stand for, the time that you invest, it's all critical. It's all matters. The time that you take up matters. The choices that you make matter. So make not choices as the unwise, but as the wise. The Bible tells us that all throughout the Proverbs, it says it is the fool who will spend so much time taking up roads to sinful and wasteful pursuits. There's a very famous quote that's run through churches for many, many years, but it's very true. And it just simply says this, as sin will take you further than you want to go, it'll leave you there longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you want to pay. And it's the absolute truth. Sin is not something to be toyed around with. It's not something to compromise with. It has an agenda. The devil has an agenda. His agenda is to kill, steal, and destroy. His agenda has your name on it. It is his purpose. And so we must be very diligent that we are taking up the right paths. So Paul is saying, you are children of light. He's saying darkness has been exposed in your life, and this is who you are. So wake up to that and then take up wisdom. Then he offers a third key, and he says, after you've awakened and now you're taking, he says, thirdly, you need to be making up. You need to be making up. Look at verse 16. It says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Making the most. Now, we've already talked about how the days are evil, but I want to focus on this word, the most. Making the most of every opportunity. Sometimes the devil just gets us to make wrong decisions about right things. Sometimes the devil gets us to make wrong decisions about right things. Richard Blackaby puts it this way. He says, the temptation is to sacrifice what is God's best for what is good. Sometimes the devil gets us to sacrifice what is God's best for what is good. Let me ask a question. Has anybody been in the same, not necessarily the same company, but in the same field of business for 20 plus years? Can you just raise your hand? Okay. How many for 30 years? You've been doing the same kind of work. 30 years. How many for 40 years? Even for 40 years. Wow. That is impressive. Now, let me ask you something. Those of you, you've been in business 20 something, 30 something, 40 something years in the same line of work. Wouldn't it stand to reason that you probably know a thing or two about your business, right? All right, you're going to know something about that. You're going to know the ins and outs, especially if you've been in that business for four decades. You've seen the evolution of that business. You've seen how technology has affected the business. You've seen how, you know how things used to be. You know how they are now. You bring so much wisdom to the table because you understand it, all the ins and the outs of it, right? But would you also entertain that the devil, the enemy of your soul, has been doing what he does, lying, cheating, deceiving, manipulating, killing, stealing, destroying for a very long time? So if it's the same thing for us, what doesn't it stand to reason that maybe he knows a thing or two about how to get you to follow the path of darkness? Right? I mean, maybe he has kind of his top 10 strategies of how to destroy your life, you know, and maybe it won't work on everybody, but I can get 65%, you know, or, you know, and he's, I mean, I, and I'm being a little silly with it, but understand, you know, he's pretty good at what he does. In fact, he's probably the best at it. And his end game is to get us to follow the path of darkness. And we want, you know, we have this idea, we want to make the devil into this little gnome on the corner of our yard that we can just, you know, kick over and kind of walk over all the time. But the reality is, he's a very powerful being with a lot of resources at his disposal. Now, we understand that as children of light, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Hallelujah. We understand that if we raise up a standard against him, that he must flee, right? We understand that we win in the end. We understand that he's been kicked out of heaven and that the Lord has already established a place for him and a place for us. We understand that as Christians, but this is why it's so important for us to stay in the light, because it's in the light that everything's exposed. So we got to be awake. We got to be taking the right choices in wisdom, and we need to be making the most of every opportunity that we have. You know, I have an idea for a book. I'm not an author. I'm never going to write this book. So if you want to steal the idea, you're welcome to it. But the title of it is, If I Were Satan, This Is How I Would Do It. I preached what would be one chapter of this to you about a year ago. I preached a sermon called The War for Your Worship. And the idea, the underlying thesis of this chapter, of this sermon, was that, God demands from us to have no other gods before him. And so if I'm the devil, I know that I'm not going to get Samantha Petfield to go from being a God worshiper to a devil worshiper. I don't think she's going to start sacrificing cats, you know, tomorrow. That's probably not going to happen. But if I'm the devil, if I can get her to get distracted and worship anything else other than God, like the guy the third row back from her, then maybe I can distract her enough that she will take her eyes off God and begin slipping back into the darkness, right? So wouldn't that be just as good if I'm Satan? Wouldn't that be just as good if the end game is to hurt God, if the end game is to get people to turn away from him? Wouldn't it be just as good? Maybe I won't get them to fall at my feet, but maybe I can get them to fall at the feet of something else, which is not him. So that was kind of chapter one. This kind of lines up with chapter two, and I've entitled it The Attraction of the Distraction Reaction. And here's the thesis that the devil will get you so distracted doing good things that it leaves you no time to do God's will. The devil can get you so distracted doing good things, not bad things. You're doing good things. You're not out there killing people. You're doing fine things, but you're distracted, so distracted that you're leaving no time to do God's will. He will tempt you to so fill your schedule with good things that you have no time for God's best. I have never seen this more true than I see it in the youth of today. Our students today are so overcommitted in school programs. Listen, I'm a huge, when I was in high school, I was taught, don't get involved in school things. It was school against God. You know, that was what I was taught. I never believed that. I thought it was silly. I thought we should get involved in school social clubs and get involved in, and I've always preached that, and I've always encouraged our students to get involved in their schools, and I still encourage them. But I have never seen, it's a phenomenon that I can't understand, that we've got our kids involved in every sport, in every club, in every social gathering, and they are so, I see teenagers so stressed out doing good things with the idea that I am the light in the darkness, that they are missing it, and that they're missing God's best, because God's got an absolute plan for them, but they're so distracted doing good that the reaction is causing them to fall into the darkness and to grow complacent and to grow. So you sit down in church and you go, because you're just exhausted. Cricket. Okay. Sometimes we will inadvertently substitute church activity for God's will. Really? Yeah, sometimes we get so busy just doing things in church that we are missing God's will. We're involved in, and it's the same way as like the kids with school. Sometimes we can get involved in so many things in church that we're missing what God's perfect will is for us. You know, I know, not to embarrass him at all, but you know, our brother Dave Caminiti, Dave, his passion is Collision. And if you're a young adult, you need to be at Collision. You know, if you're 19 to 29, right, Dave? 18 to 29. You know, be at Collision 7 o'clock Thursday nights. It's a fantastic group. But he's committed to that, and I know that his skill set spans from children to adults, and he could be involved in every ministry that is available here, and has been asked by everybody to do everything, I'm sure. But you know what? He stays true to the call. I'm called to do this, to build this. This is God's will for my life. You see what I'm saying? So sometimes we inadvertently fill up our schedule with good things, and we miss out on God's absolute best. We need to make the most of every opportunity. It is so important in being who you are, because time is precious. Time is so precious. I know that's kind of, we kind of say that flippantly, but it really is. It really is. You know, I was shopping with my girls the other day for school, back to school stuff. We're homeschooled. I don't know why we have to go back to school shopping, but we do. I guess the peer pressure is really great, you know. But so we're going school shopping. And we're at the mall, and I've got Shayla in one hand and Ashley in the other, and we're on our way to Children's Place, because that's where we shop, man. We go to Children's Place in Gymboree, And I'm like, we're on our way, and Shaylin's going this way. And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, we're going to Children's. She goes, Daddy, we don't shop at Children's Place anymore. Really? Where do you shop? So she starts taking me to these other stores, and they're like these tweeny shops, right? And no longer am I looking at a store that has little televisions showing the Wiggles and stuff on it, but now I'm listening to Hannah Montana, and I'm seeing bright lights and flashing and peace signs and stuff, and I'm going, no, this is for older kids. This is where, when you're like 8, 9, and 10, this is, she says, Daddy, I'm 8 years old. I said, well, when did that happen? You know? And they're just growing up, and it's just flying by, and time is so precious. And I'm telling you, guys, as sure as I'm standing in front of you, people warned me my whole adult life, take hold of every opportunity. Don't miss it. I've talked to people whose kids are grown and out of the house, and they say to me all the time, take hold of every opportunity with your kids. Do not waste the time. Do not waste it. It'll be gone before you know it. I am trying to be very diligent, and I feel like it's just flying by. Russell, you know, it just seemed like the other day that Russell was just crawling, and now he's got a new trick, right? He says to me yesterday, he says, Daddy, walk. I said, yeah, I know you can walk, son. I've seen you walk. And he goes, right? He's walking backwards, and he's very proud of himself. And it's just amazing. But time is just flying by. You know, on the flip side of that, we had an unusual amount of funerals this past week here at the church. And, you know, we had several people that had gone on to be with the Lord. And I was sitting in these funerals, and I was listening to eulogies, and I was listening to people talk and their memories of their loved ones. And you know, I've never heard anyone say of the deceased that person wished that they had made one more phone call. To a business call. Oh, I've never heard them say that I wish I'd sealed one more contract. I've never heard in a eulogy somebody say, boy, they really wish they had earned one more dollar. Yeah, I've never heard that. I mean, in talking with people in their dying days, over the years, if anybody has had regrets, the regrets have always been sentiments something like, I wished I hadn't wasted so much time. I wish that I had sealed one more hug with my kids. I wish that I had invested more in my family. I wished I hadn't missed. It's all, the regrets are never about business and about deals. It's always been about time wasted. And that's why Paul's saying, look, make the most of every opportunity, not just with your family, but you're the light. You're the light, man. You might see somebody in absolute darkness walk right in front of you. And if you're so distracted doing good things, you may miss that opportunity. You may be the only person that person ever gets a chance to hear the gospel message from. And you missed it because you're clouded. Why? Because you're not making the most of every opportunity. In order for us to be who we are, we must be waking up that you are the light. We must be taking up wise paths for your life, making up the most of every opportunity. And finally, and I'm closing with this, we must be shaking and baking and a little earthquaking it up. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to shake and bake. All right, I'm going to shake and bake and a little earthquake. Verse 17 says this, therefore do not be foolish, but understand. Everybody says, what is the Lord's will for my life? Understand what the Lord's will is. Verse 18, don't get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Why? Because it's a waste of your time. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Man, for crying out loud, we are an Assemblies of God, Pentecostal, Spirit-filled church. We should be operating in the Spirit every single day. And what happens is when you're awakened to the fact that I am the light and you understand that you're taking every opportunity out of wisdom, and you're making the most, Now it's time to shake things up. And listen, the Bible says in Acts 4:31, it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. The foundations were literally shaking in that place. And you know what? You understand that when you're in battle, in fact, when we close out this chapter, he closes this chapter with the full armor of God. Because the reality is we're in a war, folks, and you are soldiers in this war. And the Lord gives us the insight of the full armor of God, and he equips us with everything that we need to shake it around, to cause an earthquake in our world. And you know, I was watching, this is so cool, I was watching this program about future weapons one time, and they showed this gun that they are developing, that if you have it, you can be on your belly cresting a hill, and it has an LCD screen that has GPS tracking and real-time video that shoots down from a satellite, and it will show you, the satellite will shoot the other side of the hill, and it will show you what's on the other side of the hill on the screen of your gun. So there's no surprises. You know exactly what you're crawling into. You know exactly what's ahead of you, and this is what the Apostle Paul is saying. Everything is exposed in the light. And when you're walking in the Spirit, you're awake to that. You're making the right choices. You're making the most of every opportunity. There is nothing that the devil can do to you to mess you up, because you are in the light of Christ. Amen? Pastor Dan, won't you join us up here? And then when this happens, your whole paradigm shifts. Everything shifts, because nothing becomes about you anymore. And he says this in verse 19, so speak to one another with psalms. When's the last time you spoke to somebody with a song? I'm so happy you're here. You know? Luminous. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What is it saying? It's saying, edify one another. Lift them up. Encourage them. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God. This is why God develop showers, because I cannot make joyful noise to the Lord unless it's in the shower. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. See, the world doesn't understand that. The world doesn't get that. But you understand it when you're in the light, when you're being who you're supposed to be. And when you're walking in that path, it becomes very, very clear to you once again. And then further on in those scriptures, he goes on, he says, man, things continue to change in your life. Husbands will understand how to treat their wives. Wives will understand how to treat their husbands. Kids will understand how to respect their mom and dad. Your employees will understand how to, and it's all there. It's all in scripture. It's just boom, one right after the other. Employees to employers. And it just goes through everything, all those things, the struggles that you have. It just makes sense. It's because you are who you're supposed to be. And not pretending to be something else and following after the lie of the world. Would you stand with me? Oh, we praise you, Father. We praise you, Father. Just take a moment to give him praise. Hallelujah, Lord. We just worship you this morning. We thank you. We glorify you, God. We thank you that you have shown yourself true to us, God. We thank you, Lord, for the light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over the congregation this morning. And then Pastor Dan's going to lead us in a song of worship to the Lord. Our friends will be up here following that if you have special needs that you'd like prayed for. But would you join with me in prayer? I just want to ask the Lord's blessing upon you today. Father, I just thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this great group of people, Lord, the church. Father, I thank you, Lord. And I just want to ask, Father, Lord, I pray, Father, for every life, God, here that may be like the church in Ephesus, Lord. Maybe they're here and have grown complacent, Father. Lord, I just pray, God. I just pray, Lord Jesus, for them. And I pray, Lord God, that, you know, maybe if we've strayed away from the light and we're starting to ebbing our way into the darkness, God, I just pray that you would help us, Lord, not just do church, but God, to be the church. Father, I ask, Father, and I pray that you will, that we will be strong and courageous. And God, that we would be not just careful, but very careful, Lord, to do the wise things, Father, to make the wise choices in every decision that we take, Lord. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that we will not allow the enemy, Lord, to fool us into filling up our calendar and our lives and our hours with seemingly good things, but Lord, that we will hear your voice, Father, and do the best things, God, that we will follow your will for our life, Lord. God, to be diligent in following you. Father God, that your will for our life and not for our ideas for the kingdom, Lord, but God ideas. Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd help us to be filled with your Spirit. To be filled with your Holy Spirit, God. So that the very foundations on which we understand reality today, God, will be shaken. And that the paradigms, Father, that we have lived under for so long will fall. And we will live the abundant life that you've promised, God. And Lord Jesus, we pray, Father, that you would bless your children today, God. And Lord, that in the same way that sin affects those around us, Lord, I pray, God, that the light would so affect those around us, God, that we would be luminous, Lord, that we would be who we are. And God, that people would see our good works and glorify you in heaven, Lord Jesus. And we ask it in the name of the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.